It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. You never want me to sing, ever. I'm Stacey Mulcahy. I'm a technical evangelist at New York City, and we're going to be talking Christmas today and things that you can build for Christmas. It's going to be a little bit of fun. And what I decided to build was I don't know quite how we're going to name it. I like to call it the misleading mistletoe. Not sure about the connotations, but maybe it's the wingman mistletoe. And so what I'm going to show you today is how you can build something that uses a servo that can basically swing something in or out of position. And so what I'm going to do is with my little fake mistletoe that I made so lovingly today, I'm going to show you how to use a spark core and to be able to text to the spark core using Twilio. And what it'll do is it'll move a servo that's holding this mistletoe, and the idea is that it's in your doorway, and if someone should be kissed and the mistletoe needs to be put into place, then you can text to it to make it swing in. Or if you're thinking maybe you know your grandmother and someone else's grandmother under the mistletoe and that really shouldn't happen or something like that, you can swing it out. So that's what we're going to do today. All right, so now that we've seen this in action, how did I build this? And it's actually really easy to be able to communicate from something like text message if you use an API with Twilio. And what Twilio allows you to do is that you can send an SMS to a URL, basically. And what's going to happen is that if you specify in Twilio a URL that you want to hit, you can now capture information that's coming from them and decide what you want to do. So depending on what someone maybe messages you, you might do something or you might do something else. So the way that I constructed this is basically I have, a Node.js Express app. I have a couple of routes. So one route is going to be an SMS route. And in the SMS route, that's where I'm going to capture anything that's coming from Twilio. And so that route, it'll be whatevermysite.com/SMS, for example. If anything's sent to there from Twilio, I'll be able to capture that message and do what I want with that message. And so it's very, very easy, especially if you're doing this in Node.js, because they have a bunch of libraries. And so you can just kind of use those libraries that you need to use. And then, next thing you know, you're up and running and it takes next to no time. Now, like most APIs in Twilio, you're going to need a couple of things from it, and you're going to need to set up a couple of things. But I'm going to show you just basically capturing that data and what it looks like. So I have, again, just a basic Node.js app. I use the Express generator to create this application. I didn't really change too much. All I did was I created a route right here that's just going to be SMS, and that's really where our logic is going to be, because this application doesn't really do anything else. All it does is it handles those requests. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to just show you the routes here, because the rest of it is just your standard boilerplate kind of Express out of the box. But here, if we look up top, you'll see that I'm actually including a couple of libraries. And so one library that I'm including is Twilio. So I'm going to use a Twilio library. And it's very, very easy to use, which we'll show you. And then I'm using the Spark library. So because I'm using the Spark core for my microprocessor to actually run that servo, I can use a library that they've created. Now, there's a couple of libraries out there that you can use. One is based off of Johnny 5, which is used for Nodebots and Arduino. And you can use that one as well, and it's very easy to use. One thing to just kind of note that uses TCP to make the calls and the connections. And so, depending on where you're hosting it, you might just run into making sure that you have those ports or, that kind of communication is allowed. So I just went with a Spark library that they kind of issued out. And what I've done here is, for example, this is just a tester route. But let's go down to if someone passes, someone posts something. So if someone posts something to that route, which is what is going to happen, it's going to go to Twilio, and that message will be handled by them. It's going to be then kind of navigated towards this route, and it's sent to you as if it was posted. And so it's really easy with the Twilio library. Basically, you're using kind of like a webhook. And so you need to put in a little bit of information. Some of it's going to be like your Twilio, you know, token that you might need. I have, for example, anything that I might need that, you know, should be data that maybe I don't want you to see, maybe shouldn't be in my repo. I put everything into environment variables. And so, for example, I've got my Twilio ID here. I've got my host name. So in case I change that site or whatnot, this is typically going to be the host name of your site. So, you know, for this one, for example, I think it's like lamplight.azuresites.net. So, you know, I just left it fairly simple like that. You can have a protocol. I put HTTP. Now you could have HTTPS. You know, you might want to use that, for example, if you're creating something that locks or unlocks something, right? For me, I'm just keeping it kind of open. I'm not too worried about security with a little bit of a mistletoe and merriment. But, you know, if you're doing something a little bit more secure, you can, you know, select another protocol. And then what happens is that you get basically what is posted to you and you can handle it. And so in the request body, you know, it will tell you what that text message was. And so this is where you can start to figure out different things in the text message that, you know, maybe there's commands. So maybe, you know, you're actually using your phone to text message a robot that goes forward or right or left or any of those kind of things. So you can kind of just go and evaluate what that message is. And so what I'm doing here is I'm basically creating what's called kind of like a Twilio response. And Twilio has its own format, you know, its own kind of markup for their kind of responses. And all I've done here is I'm just taking that response. I'm going to, you know, define what the type is. I'm going to send a message back. So I just want someone to know that when they texted something to this, that they're going to get a message back, you know, whether it's you know, working or it's not. And again, you know, I'm just logging out some of the variables so that I understand what I need. Now, so that's how easy it is to get Twilio SMS messages. Now, on the Twilio side, which I'm not necessarily going to walk through, but all you need to do is when you register for an account and you have everything set up, you can basically go in and define a couple of URLs for certain things like SMS messages. And so you can create different applications, and based on that application, you will get an SMS kind of URL for it. And so that's all you need to know. And so when I go to do that, I figure out what is the URL that this application and this particular root is going to be at, and I just configure that in Twilio. And then I just make sure that I've got the Twilio, you know, token that I need in order to actually make all this stuff work. If we kind of look down and we go to the Spark login, you'll see I'm using that Spark module again. And once again, it's super, super easy. Now, they've done a couple of things here that, you know, I'm not quite sure if they'll keep or if it'll stay the same. But right now, you pass in your username and you pass in your password. So when you're using a Spark, as I've shown in the past or even blogged about, a lot of the stuff is kind of Wi-Fi dependent, obviously. So we're looking at the SMS route here that I created in this Node.js Express application. And if you notice right here, all I'm doing is I'm capturing a post request on, you know, whatever my domain is /SMS. And what I'm doing there is basically I'm creating this route that will allow me to create a webhook with Twilio to capture any of that SMS data. Now, when you work with Twilio, you need to go over to Twilio. You need to basically, you know, kind of set up Twilio so that it will call a certain URL when an SMS message is sent. And so, for example, this site's going to be hosted. It's like lamplight.azurewebsites.net. I need to go over to Twilio and I need to say, okay, here's the exact URL that you're going to call so that we can hook into that process and get notified. And so in this kind of route here where this logic is happening, I'm using two things. I'm using the Twilio module, which is really easy to use, and I'm using the Spark module. Now, there's a couple modules that you can use for the Spark core. There's the one that they've created and released, and there's also another one, and I think it might be like Spark-IO. That is based off of, I believe it's the Johnny Five library for Arduino using Node. That one uses TCP communication, I believe, or it uses one of those libraries like the net module. And so you just have to be careful depending on where you're hosting the site that you're, you know, able to have those ports open and that you can have TCP communication. So that's the only thing that's there. Otherwise, the library is really great. I just kind of went with the Spark library that they released. And so I'm using that module here, and you'll see how it works as we go through this. So the idea is that I'm going to go pick up my phone. I'm going to text something to a number. And that number, once I've configured it in Twilio, is going to actually kind of ping or post to this URL. And so this URL is going to post to it, and I'm going to try to capture everything with the Twilio library. So you have the Twilio library, and you go .webhook. And what you do is you have to put in this kind of Twilio ID that you'll get. Okay, and it's like, I put everything here in process, like the environment variable, so that I'm not exposing it to you. But you'll see that like this is going to be the authorization that you need. And then you specify a couple things for it. And so you have to specify the host name or the URL. So, you know, mysite.com or whatever it may be. And you have a protocol. So I'm using just a simple HTTP, but if you're doing something that where you're texting to open a door or a lock or something, you might want something a little bit more secure. You know, you might want to go and add the S in there, for example. So, you know, it allows you to kind of specify that protocol. And then, you know, what it does is it basically passes you all the information that you need. And so you can get actual text from the SMS message. And so different things can actually, you know, you can operate on what that text message is. So, for example, you might be building, you know, a robot of some sort that can go right, left, turn, whatever, and you maybe are texting it those kind of directions. And so you can now specify what you should do based on what the text is. And so for me, what I'm looking for from this text message is I'm looking for show and hide, for example. And so if it's going to show it, what I can do is I want to send a response back to whoever sent that text message. And so I can use the Twilio library, and they have their own kind of, you know, format for sending this kind of information. Again, it's really easy to use, and their library is fairly well documented. So I just followed what they did. I'm going to send back a response, and I send back whatever message I want to send. And, you know, I will eventually at some point send that. Now, what I want to do is I kind of want to wait until I've actually, you know, done the operation that I'm looking for, and then I'm going to send that message back to them. So here I just kind of create it and instantiate it. Now, working with the Spark, I've got this text message. I know that someone has, you know, texted me whatever to the number show. I'm going to want to maybe, you know, have that servo kind of switch or change over. So working with the Spark, you can use their library. And their library requires you to do a couple things. And one is, obviously, you're going to need to log in or have some kind of authentication. Now, their library currently just has kind of like your basic authentication. You have a username and password. So, you know, here, again, I'm passing in a username and password. And I'm making sure that I've actually, you know, been able to log in before I'm trying to, you know, do anything. And then what happens is I can now start to do things with that Spark or that specific, you know, item or all of them. And that's one of the cool things about Spark is that, you know, once you log in and you have a username and password or you're authenticated, you can now access, if you only have one Spark, you can access that, or you can access if you have a variety of Sparks. So maybe you have two or three in the room doing separate things, or maybe they're, you know, spread out, whatever, you know, each one has kind of like an LED sequence. You can target them all at once if you want. So what you can do is, for example, I'm going to do what's called a function. It's going to be calling a function on the Spark, and we'll show the Spark code as well. But you need to basically specify, okay, which Spark am I going to call? So you put in your Spark ID, and it's kind of like the ID to that actual little Spark core. And then you say what the function name is, and it's just in a string, so it's going to kind of go and evaluate it. And you pass in your parameters, whatever you want to call. And so what happens here is that I'm basically calling a function called setPosition. It should be somewhere on the Spark, you know, a little core board that I've loaded, or somewhere in the cloud, for example. And it should call a function called setPosition, and I'm going to pass it a parameter of on. So I'm looking for on, right? Something very, very simple. And then all I'm doing is I'm kind of just tracing out this data, console logging it out. And I'm, you know, just sending back that message now to the person who sent the text message. And I'm saying, okay, now I'm going to actually send back this response. And again, I do the exact same thing for hide. I'm calling that function. I'm just, you know, sending a different parameter. And so it's very, very simple. It's just one route, a post. You're capturing what that, you know, text message is being sent to you. And then you're just kind of defining what you want to do with it, you know, at some point. And so that's kind of the nice thing about the Spark is that, you know, it is Wi-Fi enabled, and therefore a lot of, you know, everything that you're doing is kind of being routed through their service and then back to the core. And so they make it very, very easy for you to do things that, you know, might be a little bit more complex, like calling a function on it, for example. So we're going to take a look at, you know, how to kind of get this, for example, this site up on Azure. And then we're going to look at the Spark core code that's actually doing something here, right? Because, I mean, this is all great, but we kind of need to understand what set position does. So a couple things just like when you're kind of dealing with this is you're going to need what's called a web.config. And that's basically telling Azure that's running like, you know, this kind of node module here, you know, all the kind of things it needs to start looking at. Now, I'm going to warn you right off the bat, you really don't need to worry too much about this. This is something that it'll create itself. You can pull down after the fact if you want to. There's not too much that you need to worry about in this file. But if you want to debug a node, you need to do a couple of things. And one is going to be you need to have a YML file. And it's just like IS node. And you basically have to specify that you want logging enabled is true and a dev errors enabled true. Now, again, you know, you're going to want to switch this if you're in a, you know, a production environment, for example. But, you know, if you're just testing or whatnot, I want to be able to actually see what those items are. And one of the cool things that, you know, running through Azure once you deploy this is there's a bunch of ways to kind of just like tail all the error logs and things like that that they built in to, you know, the CLI that you can use just in your command prompt, and it's very easy. And so I'll just show you an example of that. But, you know, once again, all I did here was I created a basic site. I just went, you know, created through Express. I just generated the template. I just added in a route here. Now I just added in my YML, and I'm going to deploy it on Azure. And so deploying something like this on Azure is really, really quick. And so I'll bring up my Azure if I can. All right, so we're just kind of looking at my Azure here. And if I'm going to create a new kind of website to deploy this, I already have a site, but let's say I want to create a new one. All I need to do is just go to websites, and I can create a new one here by going to the bottom. And I can do, you know, quick create, or, you know, however I want to do it. And let's just call this test URL, or sorry, Stacy Holiday test. That seems really, you know, intuitive. And you'll see that this is kind of, you know, starting to be hooked up. And usually what I do is I write my node stuff all locally, and then I'm going to configure the dashboard here to deploy from source. And so I tend to use everything in GitHub. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to set up deployment from source, and I'm going to choose GitHub. And what happens is it's going to authorize me, and then I need to pick out which of these repos I want to use. You know, and it shows you everything that you're involved with. So I'm going to choose Lamplight. And I'm going to choose a master branch. So it's going to deploy that. And what happens on the back end in terms of Azure is that it will see that you have that package.json file. Now, basic websites in Azure can totally handle almost everything that you need. Now, if you need to compile any kind of like native node, you know, something that's more native, you can't use a website. You're going to have to go a different route. But outside of that, if you're just like, you know, trying to install a whole bunch of things through NPM and it's fairly simple, you got your package JSON that, you know, you saved out where all your local modules are, it will look through that, it will go through and install all that, and then you'll kind of be good. And so here, obviously there's a whole bunch of configuration that I kind of need to make for the site, but you see that it's starting to deploy this item. And what's going to happen is that every time you make a change now to GitHub, it's going to deploy it. It automatically sees those changes and automatically deploys it. And that makes it super easy. You never really almost have to go into Azure after you kind of set it up again. And so we'll just see, you know, this item deploying it, for example. And once it's deployed, you can go back to the dashboard. And for me, for example, I was talking about setting some, you know, environment variables and where do you set those? Well, in Azure, you go to your configure tab and you just go down here and you have all these right here that you can start to put in. So remember we had a Twilio key, right? So I can put in Twilio and I can put in the value. So any process variables that you might need, you can just put in here. And so my code, for example, had a bunch of them. And so you just insert those and you just save, you know, you restart your instance and you will have access to those process variables. So getting your stuff up on Azure with Node is, you know, fairly simple. And again, usually what I do is I will create my Node application. I'll commit it to GitHub. I'll create the site. I'll configure to deploy from GitHub. And then I will just look to see if it created any new files that I might need, any of that kind of stuff. And then I'll just kind of work from there to see what's happening. Now, if I want to debug, for example, one of my current sites, and I have, you know, what I already deployed here in Lamplight, there's a really easy way. Yes, my changes will be lost. There's a really easy way to do that that you can use through the command line. So I'm going to show you just how to kind of see what's happening in the command line. Maybe I'll make a GitHub commit, and then you'll see it happen. All right, so let's just say I made a change to any of these things. I'm just going to put another console log here just to force an update. What I can do is, you know, I can save this. And, you know, I can go to my GitHub. And what I can do is I can go, you know, I can commit my changes, made some simple changes, and I can push them. And what's going to happen is that it's going to push them to the repo, and I'm going to see, okay, I see that that happened here. But what I can do now is I can start to kind of just figure out what's happening node-wise, debugging it from, if I want, the error log there. And so there's a couple things that you need to do. And once again, I showed you before. Listen to me. Oh, I'm bad today. Sorry. Okay. Couple things that you need to do. One is that you need to set up, again, what I was talking about in terms of setting up debugging in that ISS node. And then the other thing you need to do is you can install the Azure tools for Node, and it's really easy. Basically, all you got to do is, you know, if you have Node installed, you just kind of npm install, and then it should be the Azure kind of tools, the CLI, install it globally. And then what you can do at that point is, you know, I'll ask you to log in. You'll probably have to log in. And then all you need to do is you can go Azure log tail, and then you can say the site. So if you have everything set up so that you can actually debug remotely for your Node app, you can just do something that's, you know, like Azure site, log tail, Lamplight. And what it should do, in theory, is that it's going to pull that kind of log for you, and it'll stream it to you as things are happening. So what we can do here again is I'll add another console log. Okay, one more. I'll hate myself later. My future self will hate my present self. And I can, you know, commit it. I can push it. Oops. No. Can push it. And what should happen in this is that we should see that that push is going to get sent and that it's going to, you'll see that it'll take that, it'll deploy it, right? It's fetching the changes. And so now we see what's happening, what Azure is doing just all the way. It's updating any submodules that we have. It's generating it. It's now deploying that site again. And so any kind of errors that we get at this point, if we hit a route, anything, you know, along those lines, we should be seeing through this command prompt. So I'm going to text the number to this item, and I am going to type one of the commands. I'm just going to write show or hide. So if I choose my, my thing, and I just write show, for example, at this point in time, we should see something hit up in terms of this URL. And there we go. So we kind of see, like, I traced out some stuff. It's sending me some things. So it's taking that whole console log, and we're seeing it back here, right? And we're getting all these kind of things. Now, you're getting an error permission denied, for example, and it's telling me that there's something wrong with my Spark. So, you know, if the Wi-Fi is flaky or something, or it's turned off, or it's not ready, or any of those kind of things, you know, you might see an error of that sort. Now, I just sent another one, for example, and I got something back. So now you can start to see those things that are happening. And that's kind of how you can debug this and post it so you can make sure that these things are coming back to you. And then now what we're going to just show is it actually kind of, you know, working, or actually we should show the Spark Core code for this as well so that you have an understanding of how that works. Okay, and so I've logged into the Spark Core, the Spark IO site. And this is where you can do a lot of your coding, and you can just basically put it in the web editor, and you can verify and then kind of flash whatever core that you might want. So if we look at my cores, I have a couple of them going now. I have this one right here that I'm using for my misleading mistletoe. But if we actually look at what's going on here in terms of the code, it's really, really simple. And all I have is a servo. I'm not really using too many sensors or too many items. And what happens is it works pretty much like you would expect any kind of servo library from Arduino to work. And so you declare your servo atop, and the library automatically gets included in for you. So you don't have to worry about including the library. It just automatically includes it. And then I just initialize a position, and then I set it up. So I attach my servo, and I'm setting it to D0. You kind of need to have it on certain pins here. You got to be very careful about that because, you know, servos are pulse width modulated, right? So that means that they have, you know, their power, and then they have their ground. And then the other, you know, third kind of wire is where you're going to send signals, right? And so that has to be on, you know, those kind of pins that allow you to do that. And only certain pins allow you to do it. Now, if you're looking at something like an Arduino, you'll often see that it has got like a tilde, you know, beside it. And that tilde will kind of tell you that that's, you know, one of those pins that you can use that way. So for the Spark Core, you just kind of take a look and take a look at their pins and see what's going on and, you know, check their documentation and see which ones you can use. But you can definitely use this one, you know, the digital kind of zero pin there. And then what I do here is I'm registering what's called a function. And so I go spark.function, and I'm going set position, and then I'm saying, okay, so evaluate the string to be this function. So it's like setting that callback up, you know. So when anytime something gets sent to the service here and it sees this, it's going to evaluate it to be this function. This function is super simple. I'm just checking to see if things are on, you know, if the arguments that are passed, if the message passed has on it, then I'm going to write the servo to be zero. And if not, I'm going to, you know, make it kind of move 90 degrees. And that's it. It's really, really, really simple. And once you've done something like this, all you need to do is, you know, sit and verify it. It'll tell you that your work is good or that you have some problems and you can fix it. So you can, you know, basically flash your core, which is basically taking the code that you've written in the web IDE, and it'll put it onto your core. And, you know, once you start doing that, it's going to flash kind of like a pinky, you know, signal to you. And that's kind of telling you that, okay, you're, you know, trying to upload or flash something to it. And then it'll restart itself. You'll see a little bit of green. That's usually it locating the Wi-Fi. And then you'll see kind of a breathing teal. And I say breathing because it really does look like that. It's kind of like a slow up and down. And once that is kind of good to go, then you've got your core ready And you can access it. And if you're looking in the IDE, you kind of want to get this nice little teal color there, you know, and it'll kind of, you know, breathe in and breathe out just like in tune with your core as well. That sounds so completely zen, doesn't it? So, you know, again, I've just got this little kind of handle here. This is where I'm going to, you know, add my mistletoe of some sort, but just to keep it simple, I won't hang it quite yet. And this is where, you know, I've kind of put it in a mason jar here. I'm hoping to shove everything into kind of this mason jar and magnetize it and just set it up in a doorway. Once again, that might be ideal. But, you know, I should be able to just send a text message to it. So I have the number that I'm going to send, and I'm just writing a text message of show or hide to it. And so if I go show, hopefully we'll see that this will move. And if I go hide, sorry, it's got a one thumb typing, fat thumbs, doesn't really work. And I go hide, you'll see that this moves now. So now we can kind of go through these items and, you know, see how that works. And so my text messages are sending me back like, yes, I showed it. Yeah, run and hide. And so, you know, imagine this just being kind of up with everything stuffed inside here, maybe some LEDs that light up, and it's just up in your doorway, and it's going to hold that wreath that now is either in your way or it's out of your way. And so I like to call this one, you know, the misleading mistletoe, or maybe you're going to be the Christmas wingman where you're going to swing that in and out of place as you see fit. So, you know, how to text message a simple object in your house. I don't think you can get much more Internet of Things than that. So imagine, you know, this could be a door lock. This could be lamps in your house. You could be turning on your stereo, you know, any of those kind of things. You could even go farther than that, depending on, you know, how crazy you want to get. But this, you know, the very basics and just doing it by a simple text message really couldn't get easier. So Twilio did a really great job there. So that's what I got for this week. And you know, hopefully we'll have one more kind of Christmas hack for you. I'm going to go old school on this and do National Lampoon, you know, Hello Griswolds if I can. But, you know, just another way to add a little bit of a joy to your holiday season.